Hey everyone, I'm your host Piers Kicks, and welcome back to Metaverse Musings, which is a research-focused podcast that's part of Delphi Digital. We explore the integral components behind what many believe will be the internet's successor, a virtual extension of the natural world where most of us will eventually live, work, and play. To some, it represents our next great milestone as a network species, and to others, it is something to fear. With our guests, we discuss the technology, philosophy, and culture behind this brave new world. If you're not yet subscribed to the Delphi Research Portal, then I fear for your soul. You're missing out on the most incisive analysis that the digital asset space has to offer. Seriously, check it out. Nothing said on this podcast is a solicitation to buy or sell any security or token or to make any financial decisions. This podcast features sponsors, and any ads are not an endorsement by Delphi Digital and are for informational purposes only. Hey guys, and welcome to episode 15 now of Metaverse Musings. Today I am delighted to introduce you all to Miles Anthony, who is the founder of Decentral Games. Thank you for joining us, Miles.
Thanks, Piers. Thanks for having me.
Can you kick us off by giving us a high level of what Decentral Games does?
Yeah, so basically we've made the first social 3D metaverse casino. We've built this casino in Decentraland. We have a few different locations in Decentraland right now. And we recently launched on December 1st with two of our games on mainnet, Blackjack and Roulette, both multiplayer, and a community-governed treasury. So basically the Decentral Games DAO is what governs the bankroll that supplies payouts for games and, you know, obviously accrues value from the game's profits. And so since then, it's been about almost 2 months now. And the community treasury has made over $350,000 in DAI and MANA. And then once it hits $500,000, our governance activates to allocate those funds. So that'll be very exciting. And, you know, hopefully we'll hit that pretty soon. We're over halfway. And then we also recently became the first DAO to we moved like all of our digital land into the DAO. So the Decentral Games DAO now holds over 400 parcels of DCL land and a bunch of our 210 of our NFT wearables as well. So the total value of the treasury is a bit over 1.2 million USD. And so we kind of felt it would be kind of interesting to just have the, you know, our DAO essentially own, govern, and monetize, you know, digital assets.
That's incredible. Yeah, I really like that. And so once that sort of governance threshold kicks in over the $500,000, what types of things do you envisage the DAO members sort of voting on?
We actually just tweeted out just a thread today or yesterday. Today it's getting some love too, just based on, you know, people just throwing out ideas. And I was just curious to see what people would want to do, because there's been some talks in our governance channel of our Discord about potentially, you know, using some funds to buy the token back or distribute more rewards. But currently, you know, for the first year of operations, we've allocated 1,667 DG tokens per month for governance stakers. So there's already kind of like a return on investment if you're staking the DG tokens in the governance contract. So, you know, these funds are essentially just for whatever, you know, the ecosystem or the network needs. And so some things that have been kind of proposed are, you know, marketing budget, celebrity appearance, you know, giveaways, stuff like that. But I mean, we're already kind of doing all of these things. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what people actually propose in governance.
Very much so. I'm curious what the path to ending up building casinos in the nascent metaverse looks like. How did you get into crypto? What kind of led you here?
I've been in crypto since early 2017. So I experienced the whole, you know, the bull market of 2017 and was early into Decentraland, thought it was really cool. You know, was immediately convinced of metaverse, thought it was going to be very big and, you know, an interesting nascent space to develop in. But I didn't start Decentral Games until early 2019, around May 2019. It's mainly because I just had been watching Decentraland since the ICO, participating in the land auction, and kind of realized at that point that no one was really addressing one of the most obvious, you know, use cases of the metaverse, which in my opinion was, you know, multiplayer, social wagering games. And obviously casino games were, you know, one of the most, obvious, examples of that. And so the great thing is everyone kind of knows the rules. You don't really have to educate people on how to play blackjack or roulette or poker too much. Most people know the general rules. And so, you know, we thought that, you know, building them, they would be very popular and obviously very profitable. We started building initially just slots, then roulette, then, you know, we actually made a backgammon game too, to kind of test the multiplayer aspects. And then we made blackjack, and now we're working on poker, and we hope to roll out like a beta for that next month. But we didn't really explore this whole like play to earn and DAO governed treasury model until after kind of witnessing the summer of DeFi and seeing kind of these new token models that appeared. And it was definitely inspiring for me to kind of design this DAO governed treasury for the casino, because I thought it would be an interesting model to both, give a piece of the network to the users, which is obviously the players. I know you guys are very bullish on play to earn as well. So that's obviously a very big draw in for this type of model. But then also, just opening up the community to govern the protocol and determine the future, because I think, when you have a system like that, you can achieve network effects that you can't really achieve when, it's just run by shareholders, like a traditional business. So
Obviously the hugely exciting aspect of all of these things, the kind of community governed protocols. I think they've got a much further way to go than if you were to do it otherwise. But even from when we first sort of chatted, it did really stand out to me, how attentive you'd kind of been to the token econ around this. I guess at a high level for some of those listening, can you run us through sort of what role the token plays in the ecosystem? You've touched upon the governance stuff, but what other functionality it has?
Yeah, definitely. So ultimately, the token is what governs the bankroll of the casino. And so it's akin to, a lot of these DeFi coins and governance models, but instead of being fed by fees of the protocol from yield farming or from trading or whatever, in our case, the treasury grows and accrues value from the casino profits. And, the house edge traditionally is, anywhere from 0.5% to, 2 to 3%, depending on which game. And so basically, as more people wager more crypto, this treasury kind of grows in value over time. And so that's one side of it. Obviously, the treasury grows and the token holders get to govern that treasury and allocate funds from that treasury. But, I think the thing that really pulls this model and puts it all together is the play to earn aspect. And basically the way it works is as players play the games, they're mining our coin, DG. And so it's just basically just determined by the amount wagered. So the more you wager in the game, the more you mine. And it's based, different games have different, algorithms for determining that value, just based on the house edge of the game, the rules of the game to kind of equitably distribute the token based on, how much value that game specifically is generating for the community treasury. And so, yeah, that's basically, the main distribution of our coin is through the play to earn. And it's, we've allocated, 33%, so a third of the total supply to this. And so, it's definitely going to give a lot of the network, ownership to the users, which I think is very important. And then we also have, we launched like some liquidity mining since day one. So we have like two pools on Balancer, one Mana DG, which is 98.2. And then we have a DAI DG1, which is also 98.2. And then we have a Uni pool that's ETH DG, which is 50-50, mm-hmm. obviously, because it's Uni. Mm-hmm. So yeah, lots of ways to earn DG.
That's wicked. I like it a lot. Talk to me about your conviction in and allegiance to Decentraland. You mentioned you got involved with it early on. Clearly, it appealed to you, but this is an interesting opportunity to have spotted. I get Decentraland sort of the biggest, but there are other venues out there. And definitely back then, when you were looking, you know, if you're looking at dedicating the next year or two of your life to building something out, well, longer, I hope. You know, a lot of these worlds still have very few players in. So what was it around the decision-making process to go with Decentraland? And did you consider others? And, you know, are you going to in the future?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. So for in terms of Decentraland, you know, obviously I've known the team and been following the project since day one. And so, you know, we're very familiar with it. And I thought that what really appealed to me to build in Decentraland was the decentralized narrative behind it. And, you know, the decentralized hosting of content. And by the way, we run one of the dozen, you know, nodes of Decentraland. So for whatever reason, you know, the foundation shuts down or, you know, different nodes are, you know, shut down, like, you know, our node will still be running and be able to serve content. So I think that's for us, you know, just because we're, you know, in the online gaming, you know, kind of product sector, I feel like the decentralized narrative is extremely important to us. And so some of these other metaverses that we're considering weren't necessarily as decentralized. So obviously, you know, that affects, you know, whether wagering would be permitted. And then also, you know, some of the other metaverses that we were looking at didn't really have the level of scripting and customization that was needed to deliver the games that we've made. And so Decentraland still, you know, it was and still is today, you know, our most viable option. But obviously, you know, we've seen, you know, other, you know, projects recently that have been kind of popping up in the metaverse space. And so, you know, in the future, obviously, we're open to porting our games over to any 3D environment that, you know, that the community wishes to do. And I don't think it would be necessarily too hard to do that. But for now, I think, you know, we're pretty content with where Decentraland's at, just in terms of a good decentralized base to build upon.
Wicked. Yeah, I guess that ticks the box of deciding which world to go with. And then I was also curious around sort of how early on you realized that the layer two component was necessary, that, you know, gas fees and whatnot were going to destroy the user experience. And then what the decision process was for, you know, choosing which to go with and ultimately going with Matic.
Oh, yeah. So from day one, like right when we started the project, we knew that we needed layer two. And it was back in, it was like May, obviously May of 2019. And so we actually didn't start engaging with Matic until summer, I would say, just because we were building kind of the games initially, the non-crypto version of them. And so, yeah, we really started engaging in summer of 2019. And I've actually known the Matic team since I think like middle of 2018. Great guys. And so obviously, you know, I definitely was open to working with them. And so the main thing for us really was the speed. You know, if you're playing in a casino, you don't want to be waiting for main chain confirmation times. I mean, obviously gas is an issue nowadays, but, you know, for us initially, we were like, there's no way, you know, a user would want to like wait 15 seconds for like a slot machine or a roulette spin to hit the number. And so, yeah, that's what really drove our layer two push. Initially, it was really uncommon, I feel like. Obviously, there's a few projects that were popping up, but everyone was like, why are you building on Matic? You know, there's no one is building on Matic, you know, there's no volume and there's no liquidity. And they haven't even launched yet, blah, blah, blah. People kind of were asking me this. And so, but I was like, you know, I think, you know, this will end up being a long-term, a good decision because, you know, it's inevitable that people are going to need to move to layer two. And so Matic really made it, you know, very easy. I don't know how familiar everyone is with, you know, developing on Matic, but they just basically focused on developer experience for, you know, ETH developers. And so just porting over any smart contract to Matic is super seamless. You know, they have an EVM equipped, you know, account based sidechain. So basically it just works exactly like the Ethereum main chain, but just faster and cheaper. And so also what they enable is, you know, it's you to easily integrate meta transactions. And, you know, there's Biconomy is also one of our partners that, you know, is fully integrated with Matic that basically makes it super easy to just have gasless instant transactions on the side chain. So I think, you know, today, obviously, there's a lot more tools available on Matic that make it really seamless. But, you know, from the beginning, to answer your question, from the beginning, we definitely knew that we needed to make the move.
Excellent. Well, yeah, it sounds like you guys are definitely in the right place, and it's great to see this year, well, in the back end of Lastmatic really picking up some more projects. I'm definitely excited to see where that all goes. We've touched upon some of the sort of technical considerations for building this out, but more broadly, what are some of the unique business considerations for trying to build out, a sort of casino operation within virtual worlds? Are there licensing issues that you need to be mindful of?
Yeah, so we have two kind of entities. One of them has a gambling license, so we, you know, legally are able to permit, or we're legally permitted to provide gambling games to users in whitelisted jurisdictions. Obviously, we have to exclude American users from that, just for legal purposes. But yeah, we basically just do a check IP grab on our site, and then a user has to select that they reside in a legal jurisdiction to play gambling games. And so, yeah, that's done on the site, but all of our games by default are free to play. And so everyone kind of starts with, $5,000, free play tokens that they can, play with, whether they're, regardless of their jurisdiction, because it's, obviously it's fake money.
Mm-hmm. I have had a look around some of the properties you've got, and they were very cool. I wanted to ask who built those. Chateau Satoshi, was it Tominoya and Serenity Island or something with the names?
Yeah. So we have a full-time 3D designer in-house. He's great. Yeah. And I think, from the beginning, we've been working with him since the start of the project. And from the beginning, we kind of felt that, we needed to own everything that we built. Like, we can't really use, because a lot of people, building in metaverse, they're able to recycle assets, use designs from, other, you can buy designs on certain websites and just kind of repurpose them or refurbish them for Decentraland. And so from the beginning, we kind of felt that, we wanted to build everything from the ground up, fully custom, and really kind of fit the, and pushed the limits of Decentraland based on like their Polygon constraints and everything. So yeah, it's been great working with him. He's part of the team full time now for over a year, and we're just pumping out new buildings. Like, we got we have a few different partnerships where we're just building virtual headquarters. Like, we built one for the Rarible building. We built working on a Dex Tools building right now, and then a Gitcoin building right after that. And so that's definitely a good avenue for us to explore partnerships, because I feel like, a lot of people would love to have, virtual headquarters, and, we can pump them out pretty easily and, throw a poker table in there and really engage people's, communities.
Mm-hmm. Love it. To my mind, you guys are clearly a pretty differentiated proposition. Is there anything that looks like competition you've got an eye on?
Right now, not necessarily. I mean, I think even like the traditional online casinos, like, we have explored some partnerships with some of them, just because we kind of offer kind of an alternative user experience, just being the 3D and, social aspect. So right now, I mean, we don't really have much competition in terms of metaverse casinos. I'm sure there will be some at some point. It's inevitable, but for now, I think, things are looking pretty good.
Awesome. I love to hear it. What are you kind of most excited about on your roadmap? I've seen, very far down the road plans for VR and whatnot, but curious to get your thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. Right now we're just really focused on streamlining like our current onboard and user experience. So one thing that I'm really excited about that we're integrating this week is Connext. Basically, they just provide a quick L1 to L2 and L2 to L1 swaps. And so traditionally on Matic, like, you would have to wait, 5 to 7 minutes for a deposit, which is kind of a wrench in the user experience. And so with Connext, like, it's just an immediate, it's pretty much just like a main chain transaction. And then immediately you get assets on L2, and then, vice versa, on a withdrawal from Matic, it traditionally takes like 30 minutes to 2 hours, depending on network congestion. And with Connext, it's like immediate. So I think once we have this implemented, which is hopefully by the end of this week, you know, the onboard and exiting of user funds would be extremely seamless. So that's something we're really excited about. On a day-to-day basis, we've been trying to do like 3 casino nights per week, you know, with live DJs, and, you know, prizes. And so that's been great to kind of grow the community and kind of entertain everyone, in the community. And, you know, obviously people are incentivized because, they can, you know, potentially, get quite a lot of prizes, a lot of value in prizes. And so that's mm-hmm. something we want to kind of do every week. And then the final thing I would say would be our poker game. That's something that we think is going to bring in a totally different type of user, one that's not necessarily, you know, the type of user that wants to play like, you know, traditional blackjack and roulette, but likes to kind of compete head to head with some of their mates. So I think, yeah, poker is something we're really excited about. And then we're trying to roll out like a beta in February. And basically it's just going to be 6-player max, hold'em style. And initially we're just going to do free play with test tokens, and then cash games, and then eventually tournament mode. And so we think that, you know, this will be very popular. And it was very interesting to kind of to design 3D poker, because you kind of had to take into account like the user experience that's, you know, everyone's used to on these 2D poker sites. Because we're obviously going to attract a lot of online poker players that are very used to that experience. But also, you know, we try to combine it and cross over with like the experience of playing poker in real life. And so it's kind of an interesting crossroad, but I think we kind of tried to take what works and what's cool in each one and combine it into one experience. So really, really interested in seeing, you know, how the community responds to this, because we didn't really have anything to base it off of directly, you know, kind of had to, you know, take inspiration from these 2 experiences.
That is really interesting. And I suppose there's also an element of kind of wanting to future-proof it for when VR does come along. I don't know whether you've had much of a play with PokerStars VR, but I think I've probably got more playtime in that than any other VR application. It's incredible fun. So that might be worth checking out for some inspiration too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've played that. Exactly, yeah. I've hopped on there. It's pretty cool. It's been a while, but they only do 4-player, right? That's the... Last time I checked, they only had 4. Now.
Yeah, they're up to 8. And it's extreme degeneracy at every table you go to. I've spent an awful amount of money now on those toys in there. I have like proton blade katanas that fly around and stuff. It's all getting out of hand, but there's nothing pains me more.
That's amazing.
Than buying something through the Oculus store and seeing on your bank statement that it was sent to Facebook Holdings Ireland. It really kills my spirit, but whatever. Onwards and upwards. switching gears a bit and talking a bit more broadly about some of this stuff. If you had to distill the core value proposition of kind of what these tools afford, what NFTs and the blockchain gaming thing bring into just a few words or sentences, what would those be?
I would say it's interesting because I read a Metaverse article the other day. I think it was sent to me. It was really good. It was very thorough. I'm sure you guys probably read it. I forget who it was called Into the Void, where crypto meets the Metaverse.
Oh, I read that.
Did you read that one?
I wrote it, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, that was me.
No way.
Yeah, that's really funny. Man, anyway, do go on.
That was like one of the most well-written articles that I've ever read about Metaverse. And like, this is the thing. I literally sent it to everyone that I know knows what I'm working on. And I shared it with like probably four dozen people.
I appreciate that.
Because I think... I didn't see your name on it anywhere. Is it like hidden?
I don't know. It was at the top somewhere, but anyway.
Oh, got it. Okay. Anyways, so I think this article pretty much just hits it right on the head. I think, you know, crypto is essential for Metaverse in terms of, you know, ownership, user ownership of assets, you know, being able to custody your own funds like during gameplay and everything like that. So I think you know, in terms of NFTs, I think it all just goes together. In our case, you know, we have NFTs that are integrated into the gameplay. And I think a lot more teams are going to be doing that, like, you know, utility based NFTs. Obviously, you know, Axie is a huge, you know, was a great example of that. But, you know, I think we're going to see a lot more, you know, utility based NFTs in the space. And yeah, so I think, you know, NFTs, crypto and metaverse are just a perfect kind of trio. And I think it just makes sense that it's going to drive the future of the metaverse.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you guys sit at the intersection of some pretty, pretty neat trends. From that kind of vantage point, what are some of these sort of nuances of this new world that are maybe a bit less obvious that, you know, you might want to comment on?
Yeah, I would say it's interesting because when I first started, you know, developing
Decentral Games, I didn't really understand the value in events. And I thought that, you know, just the pure fact of being in a 3D metaverse space, you know, would be a cool experience. And I didn't really understand that, you know, the events would be kind of the main marketing mode. And so I've been realizing that more and more as we host more of these events, because it really captures like the, you know, the full potential of being, you know, a metaverse casino, because like a full casino is obviously much more exciting and a totally different user experience than if you're just going and degenning solo. So I think that's huge. And voice chat is huge. We just recently have been able to support voice chat in our casinos. So that adds a whole nother dimension to it. And so, yeah, I think overall just capturing kind of this, because it's the metaverse is basically just this public kind of virtual space for people to hang out. And I think, you know, it's for us, you know, we're providing some content that engages people. But the real, you know, reason why people want to hang out and hang is going to be the community. And that's really what's going to make the stickiness for the product, because there's going to be lots of options as more and more you know, teams are building stuff in the metaverse and building content and games and everything. So, yeah, for us, I think, you know, our main focus and what we've really grown to value is the events and the community kind of building.
That's really interesting. You mentioned that you've recently enabled VoIP. How did you go about doing that? Is that an official feature of Decentraland yet, or I didn't think it was?
Yeah, so voice chat was added. It was like in testing for like the last like 2 months, 1 to 2 months, I would say. And then they finally rolled it out like by default within the last month, I would say. And so basically any scene that you're in, you can just press T and then it immediately, like after you obviously approve your microphone, then you can just talk and then it just projects the audio from your mic into the scene. So it's kind of interesting. Not everyone uses it yet. You know, the text chat I'd say is the most common, but it is kind of cool to be able to, you know, just speak into the computer and then everyone can hear you. And we've actually hosted a few events where like I did like a live AMA in one of our scenes next to the casino. We have like a business center next to the casino where I did the AMA. And then last week we did a live like round table for the DG token holders. And so basically it was basically an AMA again, because not many people spoke. It was like just a handful, but people were asking questions and, you know, bringing up topics. And so I definitely want to keep doing that because it's just, it opens up the floor to the community to, you know, ask what they want to ask and hear about the project. And then also, you know, it gets everyone in the metaverse too. So I think it's a win-win.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's really neat. I love to hear all that. Beyond the kind of typical UX frictions, which are inherent in crypto, but sounds like they're gradually being worked upon. What other kind of major obstacles must we overcome in order for these things to fulfill their potential, in order for kind of consumer behaviors and more mainstream perceptions of this stuff to shift?
I would say the user experience, I think, is really what's going to
make the biggest difference. And right now, you know, for Decentraland, like, you have to have MetaMask. And obviously, you know, for crypto folks like you and myself, I think, you know, that is just really like nothing, you know, it makes sense and we catch on easily. But I feel like for it to really gain, you know, mass adoption, there needs to be an easier, you know, wallet creation process. And I think they are planning on, you know, rolling out something like this very soon, where you can, you know, create a wallet with SMS or email immediately and have recovery. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, the reality is most people, they don't really want to manage their keys, and you know, it makes sense. But I think that's important for sure. And then I do think there needs to be a piece that comes in at some point where, like, kind of like a custodial exchange for NFTs, I think is important, like a Coinbase or something, like for NFTs, where you can log in to these different platforms. I don't know. I haven't really been keeping up if anyone's building something like this, but I think that's definitely an important piece of the puzzle. Like I said, just because people, you know, don't necessarily want to be holding these huge valuable assets and have to, you know, make sure they have their private key. And if they lose it, then they lose everything. For the average mm-hmm. person, obviously. For me, obviously, I prefer to have that set up and have custody. But I think that's something that definitely needs to happen before, you know, the average person is going to spend like $1,000 on an NFT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're obviously building in a really cool place, embracing some of the cool, unique characteristics of this whole budding crypto-infused metaverse kind of stuff. But sort of looking longer term and playing that forwards, to what extent do you really subscribe to this idea of a metaverse? Do you think 2 or 3 decades from now, it is somewhere that most people ultimately reside and spend most of their time?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, whether it's Decentraland or, you know, a different metaverse, I'm sure there's going to be many platforms that arise. But I think, you know, this idea is going to stick. It only makes sense. You touch upon it in the article that you wrote very well. I don't think I would do it any justice by trying to regurgitate the elegant prose that was in your article. But basically, I think, you know, these virtual communities and kind of this presence of community that's kind of mimics like the physical presence to an extent eventually, almost fully eventually, I think is really going to be what makes the metaverse stick and be something that and somewhere that people hang out you know, more and have more interactions with other people than in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agree wholeheartedly there. Very, very excited for all to come. Closing out this kind of section of questions, what is one thing that's become clear to you since you embarked on your whole crypto journey that you wish you had known before?
That's a good question. I would say, that is an interesting question. Yeah, I mean, I would say, I kind of already touched upon, like, in terms of like the metaverse, I touched upon the events based kind of community building. So I don't want to go too into that. But let's see. I guess one thing that's just a bit more clear to me now would be, I suppose just like focusing on new user onboard and just streamlining experience, because I think that's something that really is going to be what differentiates, you know, the projects that succeed in metaverse and the ones that don't. And I think, you know, so far our product has been accessible for crypto folks, but like you touched upon, I think, you know, it's for it to gain mass adoption, it just needs to be seamless and easy for people to log on. So I think that's really one of our main focuses going forward over these next few months, is just making something that's extremely, extremely easy. And we were kind of focusing on that from the beginning, but obviously, you know, we were working on building the games
for, you know, our target market initially, which was people that are already kind of metaverse native.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, we've kind of touched upon, you know, improving UX, making more compelling experiences, but is there any additional commentary on perhaps at a higher level, what you kind of see as the primary path adoption first for these virtual worlds, and then I guess sort of consumer facing crypto more broadly? What's the inflection point? What's the crossover?
I would say for now, you know, our main objective with our token and our economics and our NFTs that we you know, have, where people can, you know, wear them and get a bonus on their mining for DG. I would say it's all really about the value that you create for your community. You know, in crypto, obviously, the people that are early in a community get value from being early by the token appreciation or the NFT appreciation. And so obviously, as more people join into the community, then, you know, the assets go up in value and the earlier people get rewarded for being early. And so I think like any project that's building in the metaverse, you know, trying to build out community has to really take this into account, because so far, I mean, it's been just from the last, you know, month of growth, the amount of community involvement as we've kind of rolled out, you know, our token, and it's been way more than it was before that. And I think, you know, anyone building in the metaverse, to reach that inflection point, they have to really think about how they're going to create value for the community, and have that value be sustainable and long-term. And so for us, you know, we're really focused on the value accrual from the games, but it's obviously, it's not really like a traditional company where it's, you know, based profit seeking and paid out to, you know, shareholders. It's, in our case, obviously it's a treasury that is governed by the token holders through a DAO. So obviously, you know, everyone that has the token can benefit from the success. And so I think in terms of aligning incentives, I think that's something, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, in crypto, aligning incentives is really what is the key to success. And in our case, I think, you know, trying to align incentives between the team, you know, the early participants, investors, the players, you know, as the users, liquidity providers, is really what's going to drive the best growth potential for the platform.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask what new business models you see being unlocked, but you kind of touched upon it there. You know, I love that we have these tools that you can replicate, you know, a functional sort of casino standard business model, but plug it into this new ownership structure. It's super neat. Very excited. Moving into the closing questions, what is your favorite video game ever?
That's a good question as well. I would say, I mean, I grew up playing, you know, the multiplayer kind of, you know, Halo, Call of Duty, you know, massive multiplayer games. And then more recently, I, you know, got into Fortnite. I was never very good. You know, I think the Gen Zers would, you know, kick my ass anytime I would try to get on. I feel like those guys are ridiculously good at
Fortnite. They're freaks.
But yeah, man, it's a totally generational thing. I feel like I think I just missed the cut barely. But yeah, honestly, I would say, even though I'm not that good, I think Fortnite is probably one of my favorites, just because I think that they totally just changed the game in terms of creating an entirely new business model that has inspired a lot of, you know, the metaverse kind of business models, obviously. But, you know, but they're, of course, they're centralized. But I think just this massive online multiplayer vibe where, you know, it's free to play and, you know, you can purchase items and have an entirely, you know, functioning and prosperous economy in game, I think is huge. So I would say that that's my favorite, just because the impact it's had, you know, on the industry and the inspiration that it's brought to even, you know, crypto based games as well.
Absolutely. I think it's an amazing phenomenon. I didn't know you're into Fortnite. We'll have to have a game at some point. I still dip in as regularly as I can. I love that game.
Yeah, it's great.
My next My next question is sort of beyond video games and more broadly, what is the most impactful digital experience you've ever had?
I would say, honestly, it was more recently, Decentraland has been putting on these like virtual concerts. And so they had like RIC during New Year's for a New Year's party. And like, you know, being in COVID for the last year, like music festivals aren't really an option anymore. And like live music shows aren't really an option. And so it's fun. It's so funny because, you know, you're just kind of hanging out. You're not really doing anything during these shows. You're just kind of standing there with your avatar. But it was very weird because I originally never thought that it would be something that would be fun, like going to like a virtual concert and just standing there, like even not even in VR either. It's just, you know, on desktop. But the vibe that I got from that experience is totally reminiscent of, it reminded me of actually just being at like a music festival, like, you know, just kind of bantering with the people next to you, you know, in the crowd, looking at the lights, you know, going off on the stage. And I think, you know, once VR is able to capture these kind of, you know, performances live and you can kind of converse with the people next to you, see the performance, like look at the lights, hear, you know, very good audio from the performance as well, I think those are going to be like one of the most popular, you know, activities to do in VR is just live music, especially now because it's accelerated by, you know, COVID.
I found what Tomorrowland did really interesting. Did you see that?
No, I don't think I saw it.
They're like a massive electronic music festival that happens every year. They have loads of big, you know, big artists go along and stuff. But obviously, in light of COVID, they decided to, using Unreal Engine, decided to build and recreate this like elaborate version of the actual site of Tomorrowland, and had all the stages and stuff functional, and basically charged $20 a ticket and, you know, had a ridiculous amount of people come along. All the DJs played live sets and stuff. And having, you know, invested the money in actually building this thing in the game engine, they've since turned it into like a year-round attraction. You can go and there's events on here and there. But yeah, it was this summer in July, I think, the concert happened. And that I thought was pretty innovative and interesting to actually recreate your entire festival with live DJ sets and whatnot in, you know, a game engine. It's pretty neat. The future's looking pretty cool.
Definitely. Yeah, I think, you know, it's really anything that brings people together, you know, and as a venue for entertainment, I think all at once is going to be huge for the metaverse. And, you know, it just makes sense that music festivals would be one of those things.
For sure. Well, I've got to the end of all the questions I wanted to ask, Miles. It's been a pleasure having you on. I wanted to give you the opportunity for any kind of closing remarks on where you guys are at and where you're going, and also where people can follow along and keep tabs on Decentral Games.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, we're hosting 3 casino nights per week. The crypto casino nights, we usually give out an NFT for first place prize and then a bunch of DG for second through fifth and a bunch of airdrops. So each one kind of, there's about a little over $1,000 of prizes. But I'd say if you're trying to check out Decentral Games, definitely swing by one of the casino nights. And then, yeah, just for more information, our Discord is decentral.games/discord. And, you know, we're on Twitter as well. And I think those two kind of platforms are where most of our updates are posted. And you can keep up to date with new developments like poker and everything like that. So got a lot of things coming. And yeah, we're pretty active. You know, the community and the team is very active in these channels. So, you know, definitely don't hesitate to reach out.
Excellent. Well, Miles, once again, thank you very much for coming on. Really appreciate your time. And yeah, look forward to catching up again in the future to see how everything's going.
Thanks, Pierce. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.